This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Happy to be joined by our good friend Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Operations and GM of the Washington Nationals. In the clubhouse with Mike Rizzo is presented by Burke and Herbert Bank. Unexpectedly different. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Mike's out there on the West Coast. What's your besides the weather, what's your favorite part of the West Coast road trip?
I love L.A. My son's out there, so I get to hang with him. And, San Diego's hard to beat. So, right. You know, those are two beautiful spots.
Mike, do you ever find time or, obviously most of your games are at night. Do you ever find time to go to the beach, or are you still working during the day?
I don't go to the beach very often, no. If there's a day off or something on the road trip, possibility. But when there's a game every day, you know, the 7 o'clock games, we're on the bus going to the ballpark about, 1:30, 2 o'clock. So
right.
It's not a whole lot of time. You get up, have a little breakfast, walk around town a little bit, and then you're heading over to the ballpark. So very, very rarely get to the beach unless there's an off day or something like that.
Mike, even though I am worldly and cultured, I've never made it to San Francisco. Is it worth a visit?
Oh, sure. Great food. It's a kind of a refreshing weather. It's often cool, and that marine layer comes in the morning and then leaves. And if nothing else, you got to see the ballpark in San Francisco. It's just awesome. The view of the bay right behind it in right field. It's awesome, and one of the nicest ballparks in all of baseball.
Hmm. So, Mike, you're a very positive person, and it's very early in the season. You've only played 23, 24 games, whatever it is. But we still don't like having you on the show when the team's struggling a bit. I don't know how you want to approach this. Usually when we have you on the show, you guys are 7, 8, 9 games up, and now you're trailing by 5.5. What do you attribute it to right now? Is it just the injuries, the lack of hitting? What do you attribute it to?
Well, I think they go hand in hand. The injuries are, we don't even talk about the injuries. The injuries happen. Every team's got injuries. So, these guys are big leaguers, mm-hmm. and they've got to perform. You've got three all-star caliber players that are not in the lineup with Eaton, Rendon, and Murphy. So, obviously that's going to hurt. You've got a really good extra player in Brian Goodwin, who'd be playing every day now with Eaton out, who's hurt. And then you go down and Robles, Victor would be, he'd be playing left field every day if he were healthy, and he's hurt. So it really tests your depth in the organization, your talent level and that type of thing. But, hey, you got to win games. There's nobody feeling sorry for us because we've got guys out. You got to grind out. You got to win. And I think, what do you have to do when your really good players and your regulars are not in the lineup and they're hurt is you got to really play clean baseball. And, the base running mistakes and the defensive mistakes and throwing to the wrong base and those type of things, giving extra outs, running into extra outs, they really are magnified when your lineup is depleted and you're not scoring runs. And it's easy to make a base running mistake when, your lineup is hitting on all cylinders and you're scoring 7, 8 runs a game and that type of thing. But when you're scratching for three, four runs a game, you got to play clean baseball, and we haven't done it. So we need to do a better job of that. We've got young players in there that are in situations that they're not accustomed to. So they've got to be learning on the fly. But you said it right. We're 23 games into this thing. We're trying to tread water till we get some of our big guys back, and then we could get rolling and rip off some wins.
What's the update on Anthony?
Anthony, he fouled that ball off his toe, and it just didn't come around. So we put him on the DL so he can get off it and he's eligible to come off, I think, next Sunday, and we'll see where he's at. And hopefully he can come off when he's eligible on Sunday after the 10 days. Because with the new 10-day DL rule, you can backdate a DL assignment 3 days, and we have a day off. So hopefully he'll only miss three or four more games, and we'll get him back in the lineup, which is would be a huge uplift for us, because then it not only helps us in the lineup, but also helps us on the bench, because Defoe or Howie Kendrick would be on the bench, where which is where we got him for.
We're going in the clubhouse with Mike Rizzo, Nats President of Baseball Operations and GM. Just to highlight some of the positives, you mentioned base running blunders, but Trey Turner and Michael A. Taylor both off to good starts stealing bases. Do you like the aggressiveness on the base paths?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of our DNA. You know, we're able to manufacture runs by running the bases aggressively and well. And Michael and Trey, they're great base stealers. Eaton, when he's in the lineup, is a great base stealer. So we should have a team that runs the bases very well and can manufacture some runs. So, with that said, we don't want to run into outs, but we do want to stay aggressive and do things that push the envelope and make the other team worry about our team speed, and where we don't have to rely on home runs and scoring by in big chunks. We can manufacture things when things aren't when the lineup's not humming along like it's supposed to, like it is right now.
And the truth is, I know you're a big believer in the back of the baseball card is. I was just looking at the stats. You don't have one hitter in the top 30 in batting average. You would expect guys like Trey Turner, Michael A. Taylor, and Ryan Zimmerman, some of these others, for their batting averages to increase, to get on the bases more.
There's no doubt that that's, we go by track record. It's, these guys are in the league because of what they do. And I think at the end of the year, this thing all evens out. We get back to playing, Nationals baseball, which is it's a very crisp, good style of baseball. And we're, like I said, we're just trying to stay in sight until we can get some guys healthy, get the lineup back. And our starting pitching has been, lights out like it always is. And the back end of our bullpen has been solid. And, we need to find a bridge to the seventh inning, in that sixth inning. And I think we've got some candidates that have emerged that are going to help us. And, get some guys healthy, score some runs, have a little fun, and get through this this tough period of not having our complete roster in place. So everybody goes through it, and I know we're just with we look at the rest of our division. Those guys haven't had too many setbacks injury wise, and we think this thing all evens out. So we're feeling we feel confident about what we're doing. We love the team that we have. The guys are in a good mood still, although they're pissed off that we're not having the road trip that we want. But at the end of the day, if you look at this road trip and we can, Tanner and Scherzer can get us a couple wins here in San Francisco, you go home 5-4, which is a pretty good road trip when you consider you're going New York, L.A., and San Francisco. You play a 6-game homestand, and then we're back out on the West Coast playing San Diego and Arizona. So it's a tough road for us.
Yeah, you mentioned the division, Mike. Obviously the Marlins are doing what they're doing. They're probably going to win 60 games. But the rest of the division is, you guys are underperforming, but the other three teams that are really playing well, a couple of them are surprised to me. I mean, the Phillies, I knew that they had talent, but I didn't expect the start that they're having. And then the Braves, we knew, had talent, especially younger talent, and they're playing well. So the division's looking like one of the stronger divisions in baseball right now.
Yeah, well, we look at those divisions, our division before the season, and we realized that there was going to be an improvement in all the teams in our division, and including the Mets, who finally get their rotation healthy, and their lineup's been intact and playing pretty well. So it's a division is solid. It's gonna get solid. It's gonna stay solid. It's gonna be a good division for a long time. And right now we're wearing the crown. We're the kings, and everyone's trying to knock us off the throne. And we just gotta battle to win the division, play better baseball. And I think at the end of the day, we're the best team, and we feel good about winning the division again.
Mike, we saw Sean Kelly leave the game two nights ago with an arm injury. It appears to be nerve irritation. Do you fear the worst when you see that from a guy who's already had Tommy John surgery twice? And it's a guy we've gotten to know over the past few years, really rooting for him to stay healthy and be able to pitch as much as possible. So that's some upsetting news to see what happened to him the other night.
Yeah, you never want to see a guy walk off the mound, especially a guy with an elbow history like his. We've gone through this before with Sean. You know, it's that ulnar nerve. He's got chips in the elbow that float around and sometimes float on the nerve, and you just can't pitch through it. So we're gonna see him this afternoon and see how he's doing. But we expect a disabled stint for him. Hopefully, it's a short term thing, and the rest of the bullpen can pick him up until he gets back with us. But Sean's a competitor. He's a warrior. He wants to be out there. He pitches through pain and that type of thing. But when you're pitching through that kind of pain and it affects your stuff and your command of the baseball, we have to do what's best for the player. So, well, we'll take a look at him and hopefully it's not as serious as it looked when he walked off.
Mm. So you gave AJ Cole opportunities. He ended up being 5-8 for you guys. 110 innings pitched. You gave him a shot at that fifth starter spot, and just didn't work out. So what was the deciding factor on the decision to trade him?
Well, we wanted to give him a chance as a starter. We felt that Hellickson, once he got ready, was a better option for us. He gives us more depth and AJ would be our long man out of the bullpen, and it just didn't go well for him out of the bullpen. He struggled to get ready in time, as a reliever, and his stuff just didn't play up like we thought it would out of the bullpen. So, when you get out there and you're giving up runs and you're not helping yourself or your teammates, we thought it was time to make a roster move. And when we brought up a roster player and we had to make room, AJ was the candidate that we decided to designate for assignment. The Yankees had some interest in him, so we dealt him over there for a player to be named later or cash considerations. And we wish him well. He's a guy we drafted, signed, and developed. And we always wish the best for those guys.
Mike, it's time for the Burke and Herbert Bank fan question of the week. Are you confident in what you saw in Jeremy Hellickson's second start against the Dodgers? That's from our friend Bruce in Bowie.
Jeremy's been through the battles before. He's a veteran, a young veteran, but he's a veteran of a lot of seasons. He knows himself. He knows what type of pitcher he is. You saw the type of guy he is. He's a touch feel finesse right-handed pitcher that has to sink the baseball and spin the breaking ball. We really like his poise and his moxie on the mound. He really was hitting his spots in the game against the Dodgers and pitched a whale of a game for us. We feel confident that he's going to help this team. Like I said, we like the depth down in the minor leagues. After Jeremy, we've got Austin Voth has pitched extremely well for us in AAA, as has Eric Fetty. So we feel good about our starting rotation depth at the big league level and in the minor leagues.
All right, Mike. Well, get another win or two, and then get back home and put something together here against Arizona, Pittsburgh, and Philly when you get back home to Nats Park and sleep in your own bed.
Sounds good, fellas. Thanks for having me.
All right, bro.
Thanks for the time. As always, that was In the Clubhouse with Mike Rizzo, presented by Burke and Herbert Bank. Unexpectedly different for the Junks on 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Show's brought to you by EMP 182 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. It's EMP182weightloss.com. One of the great things about doing a radio show is, from time to time, we will have food provided for us, and it's becoming a Wednesday tradition.
Yes.
Our guy from Bethesda Bagels, the man, Bethesda Bagels, they do catering. They're just amazing providers of breakfast to the junkies.
They catered my Christmas spread, and it was awesome.
I'm telling you, they have the best tuna salad on the planet.
Match it up with anybody.
Better, and believe me, I'm an expert when it comes to tuna salad.
You're a tuna salad connoisseur.
I grew up on tuna fish.
Right.
I grew up on Starkist.
Right. Straight out of the can.
But they have the best.
Okay.
They have the best tuna salad.
Mm-hmm. All right, but we're going to talk some NFL draft right now. Of course, draft takes place tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. And joining us, the founder of the College Football Matrix, the digital number one digital preseason college football magazine with stats, trends, and numbers. It's Dave Bartu. Good morning, Dave.
How's it going, guys?
Doing well. So last time I remember we had you on, correct me if I'm wrong, your big theory with quarterbacks, and I like it, is that they have to elevate their program, right? If you're the quarterback at USC and you do well, so do all of them. But if you're the quarterback at, say, I don't know, maybe Oklahoma State or someplace like that, and you do well and you carry your team, that's a different story.
The quarterback effect.
Yes. Is that right? Is that fair?
Exactly. That is it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
You know, it's trying to, and I noticed this, I think it was 2012 when they announced the NFL rookie, top three, and it was Luck, Wilson, and Griffin. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, okay, these are three guys in my coaching effect that elevated their teams. And so I started thinking, maybe some of these coaches really aren't that great. Maybe they just get on the shoulders of these great quarterbacks, Jeff Tedbridge, and ride these guys to 10, 11 win seasons. And it's really more about the quarterback. And so I started looking at all of the starters in the NFL because, you know, as much as we'd like to talk about the second and third string quarterbacks other than Nick Foles, we really don't care, right? It's all about the starters. And so when you're drafting, to me, it's about how can you mitigate risk in your draft picks? And with the quarterback, like you just said, is I think one of the first things when you're looking at these things, if you're a fan, if you're listening, all these guys that are on the quote-unquote draft board as a quarterback, look at each one and just say, did they take their team to another level? Were they responsible every Saturday, like an NFL quarterback is every Sunday, to get out there and lead their team and win football games? And if the answer is no, freaking don't draft them. Mm. Or at least if you're going to, spend a third, fourth, fifth, sixth round pick on them, not wasting it in the early rounds.
So, Dave, what do you make of this headline? I'm just lifting this straight from SBNation.com. If Josh Allen succeeds, his GM will have outsmarted basically all regular humans and the entirety of math itself. Where do you stand on Josh Allen?
I disagree with that entirely because my math, when you go quarterback effect, is the number one guy in college football company that's in the draft. Okay. He did more with less at Wyoming. What a lot of people, they look at his record and they go, oh, his record wasn't that great. Wyoming is whale poop. It's at the bottom of the ocean. The offensive coordinator, and it's not just the talent at Wyoming. You have to look at the coaching. The defensive coordinator career, bottom 25% in stats. So he has a terrible defensive coordinator. He's got a terrible offensive coordinator. And Wyoming won football games the last 2 years. Look at Wyoming before Josh Allen. So he really did elevate the team. And I've heard, oh, his completion ratio is 56%. Brett Favre's was 57% at Southern Miss. And look what he did at Southern Miss. Personally, the only thing I don't like about Josh Allen is his history of getting hurt. And as we know in the NFL, you know, you get hurt once, they're going to keep targeting that. So that's my only drawback there. But when you start looking at quarterback effect, this is the number one guy in the draft. And as far as the numbers go, I don't think he's outsmarting anybody because, you know, this would be one of the top three guys I would guess or I would target to succeed coming out of the draft.
What about the criticism that when he played Power 5 teams, he didn't fare well?
just like 30 seconds ago, I said all the talent and coaching around him sucked.
Right.
So, you know, it's really tough. It's hard to measure that. You know, how do you really, you know, there's only so much you can put on a guy. And I think we're at the point right now, we're all overanalyzing this to death, right? There's a good and a bad for everybody. So I think what it comes down to, though, is when you look at all the arguments, there's a lot more negative arguments than positive arguments, and maybe that's just human nature. But I think it goes to really tell you that in spite of all these quarterbacks available in the draft, it's not a very good class for quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Next year might be worse. Well, it would be worse. What do you think about Cleveland at one? What should Cleveland at one do? Should they take Barkley? And then, I mean, if all these quarterbacks are pretty much the same, you know, in your eyes or their eyes, then you take Barkley one, and then you're still going to get a quarterback at four. But do you,
well, it's Cleveland, so it's all going to turn out bad, right?
Probably. What would you do, though?
You know, Jesus could be quarterback, and they take him, and bam, he'd get hurt instantly, or something would fall apart. You know, so I don't know what you do there. I mean, you got the first and the fourth pick. Honestly, I do my best to trade down, and I think that's kind of what they're doing. If you notice over the last month, and I try not to pay attention to this so I can just tell stories with numbers, but if you notice over the last month, Cleveland, oh, they like Rosen. You know, what's the flavor this week?
Mayfield,
you know, and then last week it was Josh Allen. Oh, we might take two quarterbacks. This is a team, in my opinion, trying to sell itself out of that first spot. Hmm. And so I would try to move back. That would be the first thing I would do, is try to move back. Obviously, they need a quarterback, because Taylor isn't going to be it. They've already given up. Well, it was a terrible pick last year. I mean, Kaiser had one of the worst quarterback effects coming out of college this century. That was a terrible pick. And, you know, so if it was up to me, if I'm just looking at the numbers, and I had to make that pick,
right,
and it's got to be a quarterback, I'm going to go with Allen because of what he did at Wyoming, because everybody else is just kind of, they underperformed where they were at.
Now, obviously, when you look at quarterbacks and you look at their careers, we can argue. I mean, some of the busts, they're obvious, right? Like a Jake Locker, Jamarcus, those are obvious. Others, you know, we kind of went through it. We went through all the quarterbacks since 2000. And, you know, if a guy plays
in the first round,
if a guy plays 15 years, even if he was on four teams, it's hard for me to call that a bust. But all that being said, do you have a number that you've sort of come up with, like your hit ratio? We said if you're basically sort of on stars and teams have done, you know, really, really well drafting these quarterbacks, it looks like about a 33% hit rate on first round quarterbacks. What's your hit rate with your quarterback effect?
Well, with the quarterback effect, what it does is it breaks down the risk. Okay, it tries to target where these guys, you know, and as you just said, most guys are going to bust, right? I mean, if you want to be a smart football fan, tell all your friends these guys are going to suck, because that's usually end up what's going to happen. So in terms of the mitigating risk is, if a quarterback comes out of a what I call a non-elite recruiter, okay, a non-top 10 recruiter where they don't have that elite talent around them and they have positive quarterback effect, about a third of those guys are going to be successful starters in the NFL, okay? Now, you go down to – now you go all the way back to the other extreme. If since 2000, if you look at every single quarterback drafted out of these elite schools, okay, out of a LSU, out of an Alabama, out of a USC, out of Ohio State, 91% of these guys, if they didn't elevate their team, basically go 12-0 with their talent, they were gone within 3 years. So one of the first things I look at is the quarterbacks from these elite schools, pretty much check them off. So when we're looking at our list right now, you know, our one quarterback from an elite school that we're looking at right now is Sam Darnold. And he didn't do anything at USC. He didn't elevate USC. And I know a lot of people talk about him as number one as well. So, you know, the numbers say that you take that kind of guy from that program, that's your big bust rate. I think you got to look at it the other way around. How are you trying to mitigate not busting on that pick?
Right. Give me an outlier, though. Give me the, because I can't think of it off the top of my head, but a guy from a
Okay. Well, like if I'm Washington, right? Who am I? If I'm a Washington fan, what's the one guy in round three or four that may, you know, the quarterback that maybe we could get? Because Alex Smith isn't going to last a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
Richmond's quarterback?
What? Huh? Yeah.
University of Richmond's quarterback? Valletta?
Okay, now we're talking FCS.
Right,
okay. Okay. Now, there's a different little spectrum for those guys. If you look at all of the FCS guys that get one or two first or second round grades, they pan out a lot. Okay, those are really good risks. But the Richmond guy, his grade is what, 4, 5, 6? He's down there a little ways. Those guys constantly bust. It's almost 100%. So I would avoid him. If I could, in the fourth round, if I'm a Washington fan, the one guy I'd be excited about with the biggest upside in terms of quarterback effect, even though he's a small guy, needs a little HGH, gets meat on his bones, I would be looking at Falk at Washington State.
Hmm. Well, what about defensively? Because we all think that the Redskins need a defensive lineman, maybe a linebacker, maybe even the secondary. What do you think is going to turn up there at 13 for them tomorrow?
Now we're going way outside my comfort level. You know what's going to happen is one of these quarterbacks will be sitting there at 13 mm-hmm. that everybody's been talking about. But, you know, I believe in two things at the NFL level, size and speed. Okay. And to me, I've always been a best player available in spite of need. And so whatever's there at 13, you can't coach size, you know. So that's what I'm always looking at. And certainly I think the third factor there is health. I think that's still something that's underrated that fans don't talk about a lot because there's not a lot of information on it. But how physically healthy is this guy? Because, you know, you only get him on average for 3 years. And you're hoping to get a guy that lasts a long time. To me, he had to be healthy through college. So that's what I'd be looking for. I wouldn't care whether it's, you know, Washington or any other franchise, you know, is being able to, if I have that need, offensive or defensive line, that's where I'm looking, is size, speed, and health.
Real quick, so let's assume Cleveland takes Josh Allen like you think they might. Or should. Mm-hmm. And then the Giants take Barkley, and then the Jets are sitting there at 3, certainly need a quarterback, and you've got Darnold and Rosen sitting there. Does Rosen fit there, considering the media? Because, you know, he likes to talk, and if you're not good in New York, they're going to let you know it.
Who's our worst quarterback effect guy on the draft board?
Rosen?
Josh Rosen.
Yeah. It's a little unfair. I mean, he was hurt his sophomore year.
You're a big Josh Rosen guy.
Last year he got hurt. I mean, he hadn't played the games that some of these other guys have played, but I get it.
Oh, no, I agree. And watching him, isn't it hard to watch him and go, how is this guy not going to be brilliant in the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But we also know, I think we would agree, as outsiders looking in, that at the professional level, it's mental. You know, there's not much that differentiates good from great, good from second string from not having a job. And so while he can seemingly on the field make these throws and do all of this stuff, you know, what did he really do to try to elevate UCLA? And now I know Jim Moore is terrible. He was awful at UCLA, one of the worst head coaches in college football in his tenure, and he should have been fired years ago. But at the same time, other quarterbacks have faced similar situations, like we just talked about. You know, guy at Wyoming, doesn't have great coaching. So, to me, Rosen, the one guy this keeps reminding me of Jeff George. All the tools, all the size, all the arm, all this, all American. Boom. Just couldn't get it done in the NFL. And maybe I'm wrong on Rosen. You know, maybe he's going to be an outlier in this thing. It's not perfect, but to me, I think what he did in college is too much of a risk to spend the money at 3.
All right. Real quick, our producer wants me to ask you this. Rank your quarterbacks 1 through 5, real quick.
1 through 5?
Yep. Josh Allen's one.
Josh Allen's one. If I had to take the next guy that has a first-round grade that I think is going to be successful, it's going to be Lamar Jackson. He had 0 quarterback effect at Louisville, which is better than most everything else on the board. And then you have later rounds, I like the risk of Falk. Everybody else has negative to very negative quarterback effect in this draft, and I think a lot of people are going to overpay for him in draft position.
Wow. I would have thought you would have Baker Mayfield higher in a quarterback effect. Surprise.
He's about near 0 there, too. You know, I just, you know, here and again, though, you have a guy from an elite program, and, you know,
did
he did a lot
expected.
Of just scrambling around, throwing the football up. Yep. You know, and that's one of the bad sides about some of these elite programs, these quarterbacks, is a lot of these jump balls they throw, the guy on the other end is just physically superior, and they come down with a lot of these things. So I think that, you know, Mayfield, again, you have an interesting guy there, but he didn't do anything great. And look at your great quarterbacks. I mean, that's really what you're looking for. You know, and if you look at your top guys, you look at your Roethlisberger, look what he did with Miami. Look what Drew Brees did with Purdue. Look what Aaron Rodgers did with Cal. There's nobody on the draft board at all that makes you go, wow, this guy was great for his program. It is an average at best draft. And if I am drafting in this thing and I need a quarterback, I am trading down as hard and as fast as I can.
All right, great stuff.
Thank you, Dave. It's
Thank
Dave
you.
Bartu joined us in the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. You can
like
check him out, CFB Matrix.
You know why I like it? I don't even know if he's right. I like that it's just outside the box thinking.
Luke
you know, it's
Falk.
Different.
He's he loves that dude.
He's
hold on.
At
when
it,
when I zag, when I zag and everyone else zigs, I'm being different.
Oh, you zig when everybody else
or whatever.
Zags.
Yeah, but at least he's got a little strategy behind it. He's got at least he's got a theory.
He's got fancy numbers.
You're
and,
just
and
you're
matrices.
Just zigging for the sake of
matrices,
zigging. Or whatever.
Baker didn't do anything great at Oklahoma.
He won a Heisman.
I would argue with the Baker.
He won a Heisman,
and I'm pretty sure that he crapped all over Lamar Jackson last time he was on.
Oh, really?
Now he's his number two quarterback.
Well, he's done his mathematical analysis.
He's doing his homework.
Hey, look, well, I put Dave Bartu in the, what's the O'Leary
Jonathan
guy's name?
Chris O'Leary.
O'Leary.
I put him in the Chris O'Leary pile.
O'Leary's
it's interesting
all over
theories,
it.
But I don't necessarily buy it.
I'm a big O'Leary guy.
And you're a Bartu
timing
guy.
Timing issues and all that. Inverted dubs.
Well,
notes.
He also was killing Rosen because he said Rosen didn't elevate the program, but and he was talking about Allen and how Allen's talent around him wasn't good. Rosen had terrible teams at UCLA. Defense was awful. Never had a running game. Coach was terrible.
His theory, his quarterback effect has a big time bias against big time programs.
Yes,
that's what it is. All right, are you
we'll
looking to join
right.
the most exciting team in town? Crop Metcalf is looking for the very best residential and commercial HVAC technicians, plumbers, and support staff to join their award-winning team. Don't miss Crop Metcalf's Career Fair this Saturday, April 28th from 2 to 4 p.m. at Nats Park. For details and to learn how you can get free tickets to the game following the event, visit cropmetcalf.com/natscareerfair. That's Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician and proud partner of the Washington Nationals.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington right now. We're going to be givers. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with a pair of tickets to 106.7 The Fan presents Chalk Talk with Sean Doolittle. That's coming up June 6th at the DC Improv. Tickets on sale through dcimprov.com. But you can win your way in on 106.7 The Fan. Get more details at thefandc.com/contest. And the 11th caller, we're going to hook you up with tickets to see the Nats take on the Phillies May 4th. It is Max Scherzer, Cy Young, Bobblehead Night. Tickets on sale now through the Nats Park box office. But again, you can win your way in right here. More details at thefandc.com/contest.
And we're going to do the mock draft tomorrow. I look forward to it every year.
Yes, you
so
love
does,
it.
So does
you
Eric.
Mark it on your calendar.
So does Eric Bickle.
Mm.
But, you know, we just had Dave Bartu on the show. And Dave Bartu, you know, some might think he's a little bit of a wackadoo. I don't agree with everything he says.
Right.
He's got his own theory.
But he's got
like
his own
it.
Theory, but he is inconsistent. You know, people can flip-flop. I get it. Bickle flip-flopped today on Caps.
I have. Maybe.
A little bit. But so we were talking about the quarterbacks, and that's what he specializes in. And we asked him about Lamar Jackson. Now, the last time we had him on the show, I can't remember when that was.
Did you find the audio or something?
Yeah, this is what he said about Lamar Jackson two appearances ago.
Oh, he's fine.
Dave Bartu, how will Lamar right. Jackson be in the pros?
Lamar Jackson? No, he's going to be an absolute. I would not draft him at all. It's a negative quarterback effect. I am absolutely 100% selling Lamar Jackson stock. You want some Lamar Jackson stock? If I had it, I'd sell it to you, but I got rid of it a long time ago.
All right, and this is
he
what
didn't
he
say why though.
This is what he said.
He did say negative quarterback effect.
Yeah, the
yeah,
quarterback
but he'd explain,
effect.
Explain though. He'd explain it more.
He said this about Lamar Jackson 10 minutes ago.
If I had to take the next guy that has a first round grade. That I think is going to be successful. It's going to be Lamar Jackson. He has zero quarterback effect at Louisville, which is better than most everything else on the board.
Somebody might want to check Bartu's brainwave effect.
Maybe he ran the math again.
That's not a ringing endorsement, though.
No. Maybe he ran the math again.
Well, he had him at a first-round grade. And then he was selling
the
stock.
Earlier you said he wouldn't draft him at all. Not draft him in the first round.
It sounds like,
not draft at all.
It sounds like he's kind of bought into the hype, you know, in the last few weeks as his stock has risen.
Or he's just using other people's first round grades. So he's saying of the guys that you're talking about, the first round grades, because he might not do it that way. Well, he's just simply ranking guys on quarterback effect and what's the value.
Why isn't Lamar Jackson hiring an agent, by the way? He's letting his mother manage him. People can't get a hold of him.
What is he doing? I don't know.
Well, but slotting, it's not as critical.
It's not. Because
slotting, it's
the
not
money's going to be the same.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
But let me ask you this.
He should have an agent for other deals.
I asked him to rank the top five quarterbacks, and he gave me Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Luke Falk.
Right.
That's
so three. Didn't he want to rank Darnold, Rosen?
So, hold on. So he's got Luke Falk ahead of Rosen and Mayfield and Darnold?
That's his opinion.
His quarterback effect has a major discrimination against big-time college program quarterbacks.
I like having him on as a guest. I do believe he's a wackadoo.
Listen,
I will
if you
say that straight up. I like him as a guest, but
his theories are wacky.
And I was not aware that he only does quarterbacks because we asked him for a defensive player for the Redskins.
He wasn't ready.
I'll draft somebody that's healthy and available.
I like Jonathan Niednagel. And I thought the brain typist guy, I believe in that theory that you're wired
that's going
a certain
back
way.
To the Ryan
but Niednagel
Leaf days.
Also yes. missed on some players. It's
of course.
Not, it's not
I'm not
universal.
Saying he was perfect. I'm just saying no one's perfect. Everyone misses. But I like that idea that certain people have. But like, I know my brain type is chaos with reading a defense. I could never do it. I believe there are guys that are like that. There's just chaos. They can't do it. Other guys could process it quicker. I believe in that. The way their brain is.
I like the outside-the-box thinking. I just think that based on the results, he finds a way to fit him into his line of thinking.
Well, that's how or everyone does. That's what most people
do. Right, so this is a good prelim for the mock draft tomorrow, and Valdez is selecting for the Cleveland Browns, so he's on the clock at number one.
He said he's going to pick DJ Moore.
He's not going to pick DJ.
He
can't do that.
He
You're not
pick
allowed to
wants.
Trade out, right?
Well, he can't pick DJ Moore. That's
not
going to happen.
He can pick whoever he wants.
Because this is not...
You think he's going to throw a monkey wrench into the whole draft?
What's the highest we've seen
DJ
Moore?
Like around 18 to 22. Mm. He's somewhere in that range.
He's not going to go number one overall. At least be a little realistic.
Right.
Sorry.
You could take him at four if you want. But you can't take him number one.
I was listening to the scintillated Niednagel interview.
When you study these athletes, so what are the breakdowns of the brain exactly?
Well, actually, you can put every person on the face of the globe into one of 16 inborn indelible brain types.
I'm riveted. You think that's not riveting?
That's dude's all in.
What year was that from?
I would eat that up with a spoon.
Was that 2000?
Two or something?
I don't know. When did...
I'm going to say...
Chad Pennington was getting 99. Drafted.
Hey, what was that ditty playing in the background? Play it again. I want to see if I can ID the tune.
When you study these athletes, so what are the breakdowns of the brain exactly?
Well, actually, you can put every person on the face of the globe into one of 16 inborn indelible brain types.
Van Halen.
And each of these people have specific neural circuits in the brain where they're strongest and where they're weakest, and that affects their...
No, I'm really getting bored. Sorry.
That was scintillating?
I wasn't scintillating.
Wait, just listen to the guy. You guys just blow it
Why
off.
Are you that was because under his brain typist analysis, the Chargers should never have touched Ryan Leaf.
He told
his
them
predictor
that
was
way
that Ryan Leaf was going to be a dope.
He basically walked in and said, I'll save you millions by not drafting
and
Ryan
that Peyton
Leaf.
Manning was going to pan out
he
because
right.
of brain type.
He was right. Yeah.
But he kind of disappeared, so it leads me to think his accuracy fell off.
My guess is Ben Roethlisberger would probably go into the Ryan Leaf category on brain type.
Why?
Because didn't he have a terrible...
doesn't mean he can't process.
What's the name of that test they do?
The
Wonderlic. Oh, the
Wonderlic. Terrible
Wonderlic. Yeah, I think those guys blow that off.
I thought you were going to say SAT.
No, that was my SAT.
Yeah.
In cakes.
All three right. digits.
Mock draft think. Tomorrow, boys.
I'm
Mock
ready.
Draft
Pick
tomorrow.
The 10 for the Raiders.
DJ Moore's going to go one overall.
Yep. Best player in the draft.
All right, got to get out of here for Bish. Cakes. CB. I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grant Danny next.
Come on, Wizzies.
On the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.